It's time to get into the Word this morning. Yeah, so maybe you brought your Bible or maybe you brought your e-Bible, but maybe you have neither on hand and the words will miraculously appear before you on the screen behind us. But let's open our hearts and really receive what God has to say to us through Wally this morning. Wally, I'm excited. I've seen the notes already. I know exactly what's coming, and this is going to be good. So go ahead and share the goods with us, Wally. Come on. Give this man a hand, would you?
Yeah, let's give it up for Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, this mic made me feel like I work for the Secret Service. And then I was thinking about it. No, actually, I work for the Christian Service. Yeah. So it's like I can maybe communicate with a tower in heaven or something, and then they speak to my ears, that kind of thing. Anyway, that's the way I feel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. You're such a good God.
Yes.
Your word says that you daily load us with benefits. We thank you for the benefit of life.
Yes.
We thank you for the benefit to be here today, the benefit of health, the benefit of the wonderful things that we enjoy.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise this morning. And Father, we're just opening up our hearts to you this morning. We ask that you speak to us. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light,
right,
and it gives understanding to the simple. Lord, we pray that your word will come with clarity today. We pray that your word will come with power. We pray that your word will come with grace in the name of Jesus. We pray that your word will take us from where we are to where we ought to be in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you're in this place. In Jesus' name we'll pray. And the church say,
amen.
Amen. Let's put hands together for Jesus once again. God is good. Right? When I say God is good, you say all the time. Okay, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time,
God is good.
God is good. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Brian, for this privilege to share again. It's always so nice to be up here to just be a blessing to everyone this morning. I am convinced that this morning God is going to speak to you. I am convinced that this morning that the Word of God is going to take you from where you are to where you ought to be. Because the Word of God has the ability to transform our lives, right? He has the ability to change our lives. That's the ability to take us from point A to point B, right? And so as we open up our heart this morning, I know that the Lord will speak to us. Today, I want to share with you something that I believe will change your life radically. Something that I have been learning as well. The Lord has been teaching me this, so I thought I'll share this. So I want to talk to you this morning about the best way to think. Someone is like, what's that? Best way to think. Do you know that you are what you think? How many of you know that? That you are what you think. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, make sure you check the KJV. Don't check any other version. Say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? We are the embodiment of what we think, right? You and I, we are where we are today as a result of the product of the thoughts that we've had from time to time, and our thoughts eventually becomes our actions. That's why Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So the heart, which is filled with all of our thoughts, right, eventually becomes our actions. Do you know that if you change your thinking, if you change the way you think, you can possibly change your life? Okay, I brought this here. Can we all see this?
Yeah.
All right. We'll probably see this illustration for some of us maybe attending a conference or something like that. It is possible to see this as half full or half empty. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What is the difference between someone who sees this as half full and another person who sees it as half empty? The way they think, right? All right. Don't think I'm a motivational speaker this morning. No. I'm a transformational speaker, right? Because I believe God's word will transform your life. So how we think determines how we approach life. How we think determines how far we can go in life. How we think determines the success that we can have in life. So today, I want to share with you on thinking like God. How to think like God. Today, my job is to convince you that the best way to think is to think like God. Amen. Someone's like, what's that? Think like God. Right? Do you know that God's original intention when he created us was that we should think like him? The Bible said he created man in his own image, in his own likeness. So man was in the garden. He had everything he needed. He was having fellowship with God. His life was so intact. It was in alignment with the vision of God, with the purpose of God, with the plan of God, because he could only think and function like God. But suddenly the devil showed up, right? And he messed up with man's thinking. Remember when he came and started playing with the thought of Eve, remember? And said, did God really say that you should not eat that, right? Messing with the thoughts. And eventually, man's thinking got altered. But you know what? Thank God for Jesus. Amen. When Jesus came, he restored our thinking back to what it should be. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. What do we use to think? Our mind. Is that correct? Yeah, our mind. And the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. So the potential to think the way God thinks is actually given to us already. One of the questions today is, why should we think like God? Why is it important to think like God, right? When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, one of the things that happened is that you pray that prayer, right? And then afterwards, all the things that have been programmed in your mind doesn't change. All the things that you've exposed yourself to before you came to the Lord, they're still there, right? But God begins to work on you to be able to change how you think so that the way you approach life will be different. For instance, before you came to the Lord, if somebody mistakenly spill your coffee, you might just give a curse word or something like that, because that's the way your mind has been programmed to respond to something like that. Or maybe you're involved in a road rage and the next thing that you can utter is the F word, right? Because that's the way you've just programmed your mind over a number of years and you respond that way. But when you come to the Lord, what happens is that there is a change of thinking. There's a reprogramming that begins to take place. You know what Paul the Apostle calls it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? He calls it renewing of the mind. And I call it this morning, changing your thinking. Changing how you think, because how you think determines how you act. And if we're going to get all the great things that God has for us, especially in this new year, 2017, we need to change how we think. There are many people today that they cannot arrive at the destination that God has set for them. They cannot fulfill the potential that God has for them because they're limited in their thinking. You know, when God was approaching Gideon, and God wanted to use him, God wanted to do something great in his life. And God said, Gideon, I'm going to use you. I'm going to do that. The guy was like, God, how can you say this? I'm the least in my father's house and this and that. He was giving multiple excuses. Why was he doing that? Because that's the way he thought. And the way he thought manifested in the way he responded to God's invitation for God to take him to the place of his destiny. And so there might be many of us here today. There have been a lot of things that God has been saying to us, a lot of big dreams, big visions, and great things that God has been putting in our mind, but we've been allowing our thinking to limit us. We will not be able to get to that destination or to the place of the fulfillment of that purpose except we change our thinking. You know, God cannot do anything meaningful among the human race without the cooperation of man. Bible truth. God needs you and I, our corporation, to be able to do something on earth. The Bible says in Psalm 115 that God is in heaven, but the earth has he given to the children of man. And it's not in God's nature when he gives you something to take it back. The Bible says for the gifts and the calling of God, they are without repentance. In other words, when God gives you something, he doesn't take it back. That's not in his nature to do that. So when he gave the earth to the children of men, he doesn't just come and just jump in when something is wrong. You have to invite him. He needs your cooperation to be able to walk with you. That was the whole concept of Jesus coming as a man. Because God could have just shown up, right? He's God, right? He could have just shown up like, okay, go. Devil, go here. Go there. And just do all that he wants to do, right? He's God, right? But he's a God of principle. And his word cannot be broken. The Bible says the scriptures cannot be broken. So he follows the principles too because he's a God of principle. So he had to become a man in Jesus to come on earth to be able to save man and rescue man from what the man lost in the garden. So God needs the cooperation of man to be able to do anything meaningful here on earth. God needs you and I to align with his vision. God needs you and I to align with the way he thinks for him to be able to fulfill what he wants to do in our lives. You know, Abraham, how many of us know Abraham in the Bible? Right, good. God was going to use Abraham, right, to bless the whole world, to bless the whole human race. And God said, Abraham, come, Genesis chapter 15, look at the stars. Can you count them? If you can't count them, so will your seed be. What God was trying to do is to reprogram his mind so that he could grasp what he was going to do with his life. And God did not stop there. God continued. Even at the point, God decided in Genesis chapter 17 to change his name. So the man was called Abram, A-B-R-A-M. And God needed to change his name to Abraham, which meant father of many nations, which was actually what God wanted to do in his life. So as he was going about his daily activities, people would call him Abraham. In other words, they were reminding him of what God had said he was going to do in his life. And that was changing his thinking. That was changing his perspective. That was changing the way he responded to what God was about to do in his life. And that's why today you and I talk about the blessings of Abraham. So that's the power of our thoughts. That's the power of how we think. How we think determines how far we will go in life. If all that you think is impossibility, if all that you think is, I cannot do this. If all that you think is, I cannot pass this exam. If all that you think is, my marriage would not work. If all that you think is, I'm just going to be poor all the rest of my life. You're never going to make it. If God is going to bless you, you need to go away with that thought, right? And open a new chapter in your thinking faculty. And that's the word that God has for us this morning. God cannot move in your life until your mentality moves towards him. We need to begin to see the way God sees. We need to begin to think the way God thinks. When we begin to do that, then we can fulfill all the counsel of God for our lives. So the big question then today is, how does God think? Right? Think like God. How does God think? Right? I figured there is no better way to understand how God thinks than to look at the life of Jesus. How many of you agree? Yes. Right? Jesus is our perfect example. So he came on earth. God sent him here, 100% man, when he came here, and he came to die for our sins, right? So this morning, I want to show us three ways how God thinks in three ways or in three different areas. And I'd like us to turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. If you're there, it should probably be coming up on the screen too, but There's something about you opening it for yourself, even on your iPad or your phone or your Bible. It kind of sticks to your memory, and if you need to go back to it, you can always refer back to it. Luke 1, 37. It says, "For nothing is impossible with God." The first thing I want us to look at this morning in the way God thinks is that God thinks no limitation. God does not set a lead on himself. You know, one of the laws of leadership is the law of the lead, right? No organization can grow beyond its leader. Because whatever the leader sees is how far you can go. It's just the law of the lead. It's a principle. So when God thinks, God does not think limitation. And I want to show you that in Mark chapter 11 as well. The Bible says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." How many of us believe that? Amen. That with God, nothing is impossible. Right? God does not think impossibility. With God, all things are possible. So you may be here this morning, you're facing some challenges at your place. You've tried a lot of things, it's not working. It's like the more you try, it looks like the worse it gets. This is a scripture you can lay hold of. If you will let God have his way, because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Maybe you have a health challenge, and you've tried a lot of things, and it looks like things aren't working out. The Bible is saying that with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, I heard a Christian doctor the other day say that as doctors, we only care, but God heals. We care, but God heals. And that's so true. Because a doctor can only try his best, apply all the things he's learned in school and all the different experiences, but the actual healing, God does that. So with God, nothing is impossible. Mark chapter 11. Are we together this morning? Somebody ready to change your thinking? All right. Mark 11. And I want to read verse 22 and 23. And then I'll just give you a picture of what was going on in that verse. Actually, I'll start from verse 12. Of Mark 11. It says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if he had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard him say it." And then I'll jump to verse 22 now. It says, "Have faith," actually from verse 20. It says, "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots." So that's the same fig tree Jesus had cursed. "Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered.' And Jesus responded by saying, 'Have faith in God.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, "Go, throw yourself into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." Amen. So what happened in this passage is Jesus was hungry, saw this fig tree, thought he could eat something out of it, but turns out it was just leaves. And Jesus just spoke the word and just said, "No man ever eat fruit out of you again." And so as they were coming back, the disciples saw the same tree. They're like, "Oh, that thing that Jesus declared has come to pass." And they were surprised. And Jesus was responding, "Now, why are you surprised?" And he said, "Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith." The God kind of faith is a faith that speaks no limitation. The God kind of faith is voice activated, and when it's released, it produces result. It's not limited. Do you know that everything has ears? How do I know that? Even that three had ears. If he did not have one, Jesus' speech gave it one. Right? So we can speak to our situation, we can speak to our circumstances, and not put a limitation on ourselves. That was how Jesus taught. And I think that this is a big example for us today. Do you sometimes catch yourself setting a limit on what God can do in you and through you? Do you catch yourself limiting yourself sometimes? That needs to change. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe God is asking you to start a new business and you're looking at all the calculation. You're like, oh, the economy is not even doing well right now. And you're looking at all the calculation and God is saying, it's time to step out, son. Move on. It's time to step out. And you're setting a limit on yourself because of what the analysts are saying. Right? You know, the analysts are always wrong, right? That's how they said Donald Trump would not win. And he won. Right? God has no limitation, and we have to think in that same manner. God does not want us to live in a circle. He wants us to break forth on every side. And if we're going to break forth on every side, we need to change that limitation mentality. I believe that God wants to bless you. I believe that God wants to do great things in your life, especially in 2017. I believe that God wants to open doors of financial prosperity for you and your family. I believe that God wants to take you from living from paycheck to paycheck, from giving generously to people all around. But if God is going to do that, you have to lift the lid of limitation. You have to remove the limitation set on yourself. Maybe you're seeing it and you're like, my parents live paycheck to paycheck. My grandparents live paycheck to paycheck. Why do you have to live paycheck to paycheck? That doesn't have to be your story. The Bible says he is giving us all things richly to enjoy, everything that we need for life and godliness. And we need to buy into it. Except we begin to think this way, we will not see it realized in our lives. So the first thing we need to know, one of the ways that God thinks, is that God thinks no limitation. Can we say that together? God thinks no limitation. One more time. God thinks no limitation. Okay, now you gotta look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, stop limiting yourself. I can't hear you. Stop limiting yourself. There is so much God wants to do in you. Tell your neighbor. Say, there is so much God wants to do in you. There is so much God wants to do through you. Stop limiting yourself. Amen. Sometimes you need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I can't limit myself. Say to yourself, I can't limit myself. You know, sometimes I don't get to bathe our girls every day, but at least once a week or twice a week, I get the privilege to do that. And by the time I take their bath and I take them to the mirror and I say, what do you see in the mirror? I ask them every time I do this. And they respond, great glory, great grace. What am I doing? Programming their mind to know that you are a great child. Amen. You are set up for greatness. Amen. And we need to do that with ourselves too. Yeah. Programming ourselves and not putting a limitation on ourselves. What's the other way God thinks? Number two, God thinks no fear. Can we say that together? God thinks no fear. I have a question for you. What do you think God is afraid of? Absolutely nothing, right? Another question. What are you afraid of? He said God, right? Well, the word fear can be used in two different forms. It can be used in the form of being terrified, and it can be used in the form of reverence. So reverence is what you're talking about. But our focus today is being terrified. My big question to you today is, what are you afraid of? Fear does nothing to a man but to cripple that man. Fear paralyzes us if we let him. Fear would set a limit on what we can achieve in life. There are great books that have not been written, or that were never written, as a result of fear. There are great speakers that have never spoken a word because of fear. There are great men that are supposed to raise a great family, but because of the fear of the failure of their parents' marriage, they refuse to step out into what God has for them. Fear can rob you of the glory of God upon your life. And we must not let it. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Again, let's look at the example of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the one we're learning from today as a way to think like God. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Here's another beautiful story of Jesus there. From verse 35, I read. It said, "The day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious call came up, so a wind, a storm, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." I like that. "The disciples woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm." How many of us are familiar with that story? Read the story before. If you've never read the story or you've never heard the story before, I encourage you to go back home to read it. It's a very interesting story. It's like they were in this, it's not a Titanic boat, right? But they were in this boat, and then they were crossing over, and then there was this storm really raging, and it's like everyone was going to fall apart. But the interesting thing was that Jesus was there. The Bible says he had a cushion, and then he was doing what? Sleeping. So I began to ask myself, what was it that made Jesus to have such confidence that he could sleep amidst a huge storm that was raging? He's thinking. He knew who he was. He knew his God. He knew what he carried. He knew the power of God on the inside of him. He knew that he could speak to the wind and the wind would stay calm. He was rested. And you know what? The Bible says Christ in us, the hope of glory. That same Jesus lives on the inside of us. So shouldn't we think that way as well? Why should we be afraid? What are we afraid of? Fear of death. When you die, you're going to go to heaven. Nothing to be afraid of, really. Sometimes I ask myself, you know, I think weird sometimes. So I ask myself, am I really afraid of death? And then I really think about it alone, right? It's not being suicidal or anything, so don't think I'm suicidal. I'm not. But then I'm like, even if I die, it's a privilege. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Oh, that will begin to think like that. They'll begin to think that when we die, we go to a better place. And if you begin to think like that, then you're not afraid of death. The Bible says Jesus came so that those who through their life were subject to the fear of death, he would deliver them from it. He's conquered death. We don't need to be afraid of it. What is it that you're afraid of? I'm believing that God's word will come to you today. And this week, you'll be able to stand before that thing you're afraid of and say no more. Because you've changed your thinking. God thinks no fear. And today, I believe that as you step up as you launch out, you begin to do the same. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Let's turn to Isaiah 41, verse 10. Make sure you open it, because you're going to read this to your neighbor now. He's an active one today. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Are you there? Okay, time to look at your neighbor. You're going to speak this word to your neighbor, okay? Isaiah 41, verse 10. Look at what it says. Say, so do not fear, for I am with you. Can we say it together? Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God speaking to you. He's saying, Wale, do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Meditate on this word. Let this word sink in, and it will break the power of fear over your life. What's the third way that God thinks? God thinks no experience necessary. Remember, we started by saying that God thinks no limitation, God thinks no fear, and God thinks no experience necessary. Do you know that God does not necessarily use the experienced, but he uses the available and the willing? Yes. 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about vessels unto honor, right? Say, if a man therefore purge himself of these things, he will be a vessel, ready, meet for the master's use. God thinks no experience necessary. You know, when God was about to appoint a king for Israel, he sent Samuel. Samuel was the prophet. And Samuel got there because Samuel was an experienced man of God. He got there and saw Eliab, who was the firstborn. That's 1 Samuel chapter 16. And then he said, in verse 6, he said, this must be the guy, this Eliab. Because he saw the guy was tall, huge, macho guy. He's like, this must be the guy that God has appointed as king. And you know what God said to him? Mm-mm, that's not the one that I've chosen. And you know the one that God chose? The one that was busy shepherding the sheep. That's the one that God chose. So God does not always work with experience. And we need to begin to think in that manner as well. How does that apply to us? You need to begin to see that your background does not have to define who you are in life. Amen. Your past does not have to define who you are in life. Amen. You know, I read a story this morning of this man who was very violent, and he was convicted of attempted murder, and then he was committed to prison. And he was so violent that they had to relocate him to a different prison, a maximum security prison. And nobody would go near him. If they want to pass him his food, they just pass it that way. You dare not go because the guy is like crazy, like really crazy guy. Anytime they want to let him out for any reason, they have to have 6 armed guards ready just for one man because of how crazy the guy was. But one day he got relocated to another prison, and then he met the Lord. And as soon as he confessed Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he began to expose himself to the things of God. His thinking started changing. Today, that same man got married and has 3 kids, and he's doing wonderfully for the Lord. That's the power of God. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of God's word, being able to change and transform the life of a man. Why am I saying this today? I'm saying to you that you don't have to let your past define your future. You don't have to let the experiences of 2016 determine how 2017 will go. You can open a new chapter today. So God thinks no experience necessary. You know, the Bible says we walk not by sight, but by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, right? You know, a person could have been born poor, but the choice to die poor is actually in the hand of that man. Right. And that's exactly the way God wants us to begin to think. As I round off to this morning, how can we begin to think like God? What do we need to do? We've talked about the ways God thinks, right? We've talked about the fact that God thinks no limitation. We've also talked about the fact that God does not think fear. We've talked about the fact that when God thinks, he doesn't think that experience is necessary sometimes. He only uses the available and the win. If you release yourself to him, he can do great and mighty things in you and through you. So what is it that would help me to begin to think like God? The first thing is what you listen to. What you listen to. What do you expose yourself to? What are you listening to? You know, we must let our thinking not to be influenced by the word, W-O-R-L-D, but by the word, W-O-R-D. If we're going to be able to change our thinking and be able to think like God, we need to change what we're listening to. You know, the media is very powerful. I know about you guys. This is what I found. So sometimes I listen to CNN. And then before I know it, you begin to have liberal thoughts, and then you put in Fox News, right? And then you have conservative thoughts. And then you're like, okay, which one do you go? And then you end up listening to the two so that you can find a balance, right? That's how powerful the media is. You listen to CNN long enough, you're going to hate Donald Trump. And you listen to Fox News long enough, you're going to like him. I tell you, that's what, try it, that's what's going to happen. That's because the media is so powerful. And the program your mind, but you know, these things happen so subtle. It might sound funny, but that's exactly the way it is. You listen to a song enough, sometimes we listen to songs here, and during the week on Tuesday, suddenly the tune is popping up. I'm like, oh. And then I remember, oh, that was the song that the worship team was singing on Sunday. So what have you been listening to? You need to expose yourself and listen to things that will edify you. The things of God. Amen. The things that will transform you. The things that will help you to think like God. Those are the things that will be able to help you to think like him. What else? How can we begin to think like God? What you read. If you spend all your time reading love novels and you know, romantic novels, that's all you're going to begin to think. You go to sleep, that's all you're going to begin to dream about, right? But when you read the Word of God, your life begins to change. You know, the Word of God, Pastor Brian just finished a series about the Bible, very powerful series. The Bible has the ability to transform your life. You know, I didn't feel like I could stand here today to preach. It was funny because I was talking to you yesterday. I was feeling very sick yesterday, like very, very sick. As I was, you were praying over the phone. I didn't tell you anything because I knew that God was going to just give me that breakthrough that I needed. And I needed to begin to meditate on that scripture. If the spirit of he that raised Jesus dwell in me will quicken my mortal body. And I began to play it in my mind and I began to speak it out. And eventually, here am I standing before you guys this morning. That's how powerful the word of God is. What you read. You know, the word of God is God's thought expressed to us in print. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're going to begin to think like God, you have to make the Bible your friend. Do not let a day pass by without studying the word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Timothy 2:15. Make the Bible your friend. Read it, eat it, study it, dream it. And you begin to think like God. What's the final thing? Who you hang out with. Some of us need to change our friends. Because your friends have a lot to do with where you're going to go or how far you're going to go in life. Show me your friends and I'll show you who you're going to be in 5 years. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners, right? So if you hang out with someone long enough, you begin to be like them, right? Like my wife and I, we've exchanged a lot of traits. Sometimes I say to her, you're beginning to act like Wale. And then she told me, you begin to act like me. Well, because we've stayed together long enough, right? So that's exactly what happened. So we need to wisely choose our friend. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, says, walk with the wise and become wise. Says, associate with fools and get in trouble. What could be more clearer? That's not good English. More clearer. No, that's not good. What could be clearer? Right? We need to be careful who we hang out with, because that influences our lives. As I round up this morning, I want you to know that God wants you to begin to think like him. He doesn't think limitation. He doesn't think fear. He doesn't think experience necessary. He doesn't think looking at your background as an hindrance to what he wants to do in your life. He doesn't focus on your yesterday. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. That's the God that we serve. And as I ask us to stand this morning, let's rise up, Chris. As I ask us to stand this morning, I want us to reflect on this word and say, how have you been thinking? Have you been setting a limit on yourself? Have you been very afraid to step out and to step into what God has for you? Have you been hanging out with the wrong crowd? You can change. You know, our God is a God of a second chance. Our God is a God that is always eager and willing to open new chapters in our life. And I believe that that's why God has sent his word to you this morning, that you need to change your thinking. If you change your thinking, you change your life. And how do you change your thinking? By what you read, by what you listen to, and by who you hang out with. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord.